G'day everyone, how are you going? It's good, good to hear. Well, how about I pray for us as we jump into this word together? Why don't you pray with me? Well, Father, we thank you so much for the gift it is to have your word and to have your spirit working in our hearts to respond to that word. And so, Lord, please, might we hear your word. Would you please take away the distractions that would come into our minds? Take away anything that would snatch this word away from us. Please change us by it. Mold us into the people you would have us be, pursuing the purpose that you have for our lives together. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, these holidays we've been thinking about the purpose of life. So last week, Herdy took us through God's purpose for us in work. What that looks like. This week, we're kind of taking a little bit of a step back from a particular aspect of life and thinking about what is God's purpose for our life together. Because purpose is a really wonderful gift. If you've got purpose, you can be determined and you can be driven and you can achieve things that you set out to achieve, perhaps that you wouldn't have been able to get to if you didn't have the kind of purpose and drive that that would give you. It gives you an agenda for life. And so my life is about, that's your purpose. It's a wonderful gift, but it's also necessary. Because without purpose, I think life can be leaving you in despair. It can seem pointless and meaningless. And so it's why we want it. We want purpose. There's been a bit of a movement, or people talking about a bit of a movement across our world lately about people coming to check out the things of Jesus, check out the things of Christ. And I think a lot of it's actually driven by purpose, because life's answers to the big questions like, why am I here? There's just no good answers that seem to stack up to the realities of life and the tragedies we face, the hardship we face. And so having purpose is a wonderful gift, but it's also necessary, so that we're not in despair. And the world's got no good answers to that. So people are turning to this. Perhaps that's why you're here today. But what is the purpose? What is the purpose of life? And what's your purpose in life? Well, among the many gifts of having a God who speaks to us in his word is the gift of clarity about purpose. And not just what that purpose is, but also the path of purpose that he maps out for us, the way to pursue that purpose together. God makes it very clear the reason you exist and the way to pursue that reason, that purpose. Not just answering what it is, but also the path. And that's what we're going to be jumping into together tonight. If you're newer to the things of Jesus and to church here with us, we're so stoked you're here and keen for you to keep wrestling with these things. I think you probably know purpose is something you want. Maybe that's exactly why you're here, because you're chasing that, to know why we exist. That's something you want. And it might be what brought you along. And so tune into this word and hear a piece of what God's purpose is for his people. The one who made us has made it really clear to us why we exist and how to live that purpose out. For many of us, though, who've come to know this purpose and accept it, God's word is like a compass. It's pointing the true north and it shows us the way to go. But so often in life, we can start just slightly skewed. And so though we start skewed, it's only a small bit off. But as we journey along, we just more and more end up and then finally end up miles away. Sometimes we're just walking straight south. We need to come back to God's word and see what his purpose is for us. And so that's what we're going to do this morning. Perhaps repent of things that we've been doing that are wrong, but to see how wonderful the good gift he has for us in this purpose that we can pursue together. And so what we're going to do, we're going to look at this passage in Ephesians chapter 4, which makes it really clear to us. One of the passages that does that. So open your Bibles there. What we're going to see here is that God's purpose is to make us his people like Christ. It's going to take us a little bit to get to there. So open up to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Have a look there with me. It says, it starts with Christ, a gift that he's given us. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Now just quickly on some of those, the apostles and the prophets, I think those are the people who wrote God's word, because in chapter 2, verse 20, he says that the church, his household, are built on their foundation. And throughout the scriptures, we're taught that we're built upon the word of God as his people. So it's those who wrote scripture originally. But then there's the evangelists, like the missionaries and those who spread this good news that they wrote down, the good news of that word to us. And then there's the pastors and teachers who continue to teach that word that they wrote. Notice it's all about the word of God. Christ gave that gift to his people. Why does he give it? This is where we start seeing what this word says about purpose. He gave those gifts to, verse 12, equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. That's God's purpose for his people. He wants us to be built up. But in verse 13, look at that. What are we built up into? Well, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. That's his purpose for us as his people. And notice this, God's purpose here is a shared purpose. This is about our purpose together as his people. It says in verse 13, until we all reach this purpose. This is not about personal fulfillment either, as if there's something in me that God wants me to unlock and fulfill in my life. No. It's about Christ's fullness. That's where you find the fullness of your life. You find it in his fullness, not in something hidden in you. Because the great fullness of humanity is Christ himself, and so you find your purpose there. It's not about personal fulfillment, and it's not about us individually. This is about us together. So often I think we can think of purpose as if it's this unique thing that God wants for me in my life. God has a plan and a purpose for me, and now there's something in that. Verse 7, Christ does give particular gifts to his people. But notice Paul then doesn't just spell out how do you find that gift and how do you unlock that and how do you use that, how do you pursue that. No, he talks about the thing that matters most, our purpose together in life. That's the thing he goes to spell out for us. We imagine that God has this big, unique plan for me, and that's the big thing, but no, the big thing is our purpose together. We swim in a cultural tide of individualism. It's all about us and our life, and we kind of pursue our thing, and we define ourselves. There's all sorts of ways that individualism is caught up in our life, and what we can do is map that onto God's word, and then change every we to say me. But notice, it says, verse 13, until we all reach this purpose. It's not about me individually, it's about us together. He has a wonderful gift for us in this purpose, and God the Father doesn't give it to a golden child amongst us, and we just watch them unwrap it and feel bad. No. This is for each of us together. All of God's people. He gives us all the best gift, and it's glorious. Attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. What does that mean? That's a word that sounds like a mouthful, and it's because there's a lot of richness in it. But God's purpose is that we're built up into this fullness. It doesn't mean that we become the Son of God, just in case that was news for you. You're not going to become the second person in the Trinity, no. It's more like the builder's plan. And so builders, right, there's a few amongst us, they know what they're doing, I don't. So builders, if they're doing the right thing, unless they're, I don't know, maybe if they're really good, they can just whip something up, but they would usually, if they're doing the right thing, build according to a plan. Now, when I build something, I just see what happens, and there's a reason I don't build stuff, because when I see what happens, it's not good. But God, the ultimate builder, he builds his people according to a plan. He builds us with a plan in mind, and like the builder builds according to the plan, God the Creator builds us according to a plan. And that is to be in his image. That's what he made us for, and he's redeemed people. He saved us for it so that we would pursue it again. Now, what is that image? What is the image of the invisible God? Well, it's Christ. We see this in a bunch of places across Scripture, and they'll come up here on the screen for you. Notice that you've probably heard before that we are made, as all people, we're made in the image of God. We bear that image, and we pursue that. God redeemed us so that we would continue to pursue it. That is our purpose. But notice it says we're made in the image of God, but Christ is the image of God. We're in His image. He, Christ, is the image of the invisible God. And so you see that in places like Colossians chapter 1 and 2 Corinthians 4, that Christ is that image. Later in our term coming up, we're going to be looking into Romans, which is keen for that. Grab those daily reading notes, it'll be good. In Romans chapter 8, verse 29, which we'll get a chance to look at, it says that God has called us to be conformed to the image of His Son, to be made in His likeness, and to attain to His full measure. That's the measure God holds His people up against, to build us towards. And so His purpose for us is that we would more and more be built up into His likeness, into the full measure of Christ. And so it's about what Christ is full of. That is our purpose to pursue. And so what is Christ full of? We'll just have a look at the rest of Ephesians. What you see in Ephesians here is Paul continuing to measure us up against Christ and what He is full of. So have a look at chapter 4, verse 24. I'll go a little bit higher up. But he says in verse 22, to take off the old self. And verse 23, to be made new. And then 24, to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And so we're to be the ones who pursue holiness and righteousness, because that's what God is full of. That is what Christ is full of. He's full of holiness. Now, as God's people, He declares us holy. We don't have to earn our way to become holy enough in His sight so that He accepts us. No, He declares us that by trusting in Him, having forgiveness of our sins by trusting Him. But now, as God's people, as Christ's people, He wants us to be worthy and live worthy of that title that He's declared of us, that we'd be more and more conformed to the one whose righteousness has been counted as ours. We would be more and more conformed to that righteousness. It plays out again in chapter 5, verse 1. Here, Paul is measuring us out as our Christian life. He's measuring up it against Christ. Chapter 5, verse 1, he says, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Christ is full of love. Oh, it was so helpful, wasn't it, reflecting over Easter, that this Lord Jesus Christ gives up His life to die for us sinners, us rebels, and He gives us up so that we could have right relationship with Him again. The immensity, the immeasurability of His love for us. We're to walk like He did, just as Christ loved us. That's the way we are to love one another. We're measured against Him. We're measured up with Him because that is the purpose He has for us, that we would pursue His likeness more and more. Now, there's a really important word there. In the start of verse 13, look at it again with me. It says, until. That's a key thing, right? This is a work in progress, this building that God's building in us, His people. We're not arrived there yet. We're attaining to that until we all reach it. But now we pursue that purpose, and one day we'll more and more live in that fullness of His glory, His perfection. But now it's a work in progress. The builder is still doing His work. That is our purpose together. I wonder how you feel about that purpose. How are you responding to that purpose? Because if God has this wonderful gift for us, and perhaps you're pursuing this purpose that you want in life, and hearing that the purpose is, God wants to make Him more like Christ, maybe, and as I'm tempted to feel sometimes, you're feeling that's just a bit maybe underwhelming. Or perhaps not really that exciting, because the purpose I had for my life was a little bit bigger and grander than that, right? It can be very possible to think that, because it feels like just being measured up to Christ, being more like Jesus, is Is that whatever? Like, cool, that can be all right. But notice, it can't be a problem with the purpose. It's got to be a problem with us and our vision of it and our ability to see reality and see the majesty of who Jesus is. And so I want us to help us think through that a little bit together. And so what I want you to, as we always want you to do, is just flick your mind on for a second. I want you to actually think about something, which I always do, but especially right now. But think with me, is there someone in your life or someone you see and you just wish your life was more like theirs? Perhaps you follow them on Instagram or something and, you know, they've just got all the stuff that you want. They've got whatever it is, maybe the influence, they've got the stuff, they've got the relationships, they've got the lifestyle that you crave and you really want. It doesn't have to be a real person. Maybe it's just like this ideal in your mind and like different people sort of represent different parts of it. Because as you look at Instagram, it's not really giving you reality anyway, so it doesn't really matter if it's a real person or not. But is there something that you want in life, something that you measure up against and wish your life was more like theirs? If your life could be different, what in your life would you want to be different? And it's not necessarily a bad thing. It could be a good thing. Perhaps it's influence, it could be reputation, it could be money, stuff, friends, family. Have you got that in mind? For me, as I reflected on this week, I figured I should do that activity myself. It's not so much a real person, I don't think. I think I just want a kind of lifestyle. Like, just put me on a boat on the Great Barrier Reef for a week and I can fish for a while. That sounds pretty good. But I don't know what it is for you, but there'll be things in your life. But for me, I think it's a lifestyle thing. But can you see what we're doing as we do that activity? And if you're honest and reflecting on that enough, what we're doing is we're putting our own builder's plan on our life. We're measuring our life against some kind of fullness that we're seeking to reach in our life. We're like, we wish we were the builder, and we wish that it wasn't Christ's image that we were being built into, but it's this other ideal. There's some other kind of life that you wish you had. But whatever was in your mind, whatever's in your mind, and sure, there might be good things, there might be hard things in your life, but whatever it is, how does it measure up against the Lord Jesus Christ? The Lord of everything. The one who, through whom everything was made, that he upholds all things in his hands, and that one who is great in his love, that puts on flesh, takes on humanity so that he can come and die in our place to save us from our sins. How does whoever that is on Instagram measure up against him? How does anyone measure up against the one who is great in holiness, who is perfect, who never let his father down, who never let a single person down ever in his life, who at every point always made the perfect decision every single time? He had no regrets ever. Gee, I wish that was true of my life. I wish it was more true of my life. Because the Lord Jesus, he is the one who we are to be made into. God made us with a purpose to love and enjoy him forever. Christ fulfilled that perfectly. And so God is building his people into his likeness more and more. He's building us up into that image. And so there's no other image worthy of that. And also, like, think about his ability to not just do the right thing at every moment, but also to, as mess was going on around him, to always be steady and firm in it all, and even be able to forgive. And so as he hangs on the cross for sinners, and as the people he dies for are torturing him, crucifying him, he says, "Father, forgive them." What a man. What a man. There's not a fuller life that walked this planet. No fuller life, ever. It might not match up to the Instagram dreams or your ideal, but I'm telling you now, nothing matches up to the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's no better image to be conformed to than his. And brothers and sisters, what a wonderful gift it is to be God's people, given the purpose to be built up into that image. Anything else would be a lesser gift. what more can heaven give now that it's given us Christ? And what more can the Father give to us than a purpose to be more and more conformed to his image? And so, brothers and sisters, perhaps tonight there's a moment for you where you need to repent. Repent of those false fullnesses that you've been pursuing, and again, set your minds on that true north, which is Christ himself, and pursue him, and to do that together with one another. We've been given a wonderful purpose to be God's people, called to be his, saved to be his people, and saved to be built up into and attaining the fullness of Christ, the most incredible man the world has ever seen. That's our purpose together. So how do we pursue that purpose? So it's one thing to know a purpose, right? To know that I want to do whatever it is with my life, but it's another thing to know how to get there. And often we have to go through all sorts of bumps and along the way to figure out the path. Well, the wonderful gift of God's word, not just clarity about what the purpose is, but clarity about how to pursue it, the path, the true north, to stay there. And there's two things that this passage makes really clear for us that I want to help us see. The first is that we pursue this purpose by pursuing the truth. We pursue this purpose by pursuing the truth. Did you notice that as we read that, the way the truth is all the way intermingled in this all? So verse 11, the gift that Christ gives to his people is people who bring the truth. Are the apostles and prophets who wrote it, the evangelists who spread it, the pastors and teachers who teach it. They're the gift of the truth to God's church. And verse 12, he equips his people for works of service so that the body's built up. What are we built up into? Verse 13, until we reach unity in the faith. That is the beliefs of the Christian message, that we're built up in the faith, in the beliefs of Christianity. We're built up into those, and not just into unity and with the faith, he also says, and in the knowledge of the Son of God. It's all about us pursuing the truth together. And verse 15, we'll speak about this more in a moment, but we speak the truth in love together. And so all of this through is about us pursuing the truth. To grow into that image, we need to know what that image truly is and what he looks like, who he is fully, so that we can pursue it. And when you come to know a person, it's very different to knowing a topic. And so as Christ comes and tells us, it gives us this gift of this message of truth about who he is, it's very different to just any random topic in life. This is about knowing a person. So over time, if you get married one day, you learn things about your spouse, and spice maybe, I don't know. that was a bad one. But it's no good just knowing that information, right? No good just knowing about your spouse. That knowledge is supposed to lead to something. Perhaps appreciation, admiration, respect. You value them more and more. You enjoy them more because of who they are and who you know them to be. And as you walk through life together, you come to know each other better and adore each other more and more because of it. Well, God doesn't just give us knowledge about a topic. It's more like you know your spouse, but it's more like you know the Lord Jesus Christ, who's a person. And so as he gives us the truth, it's an invitation to know the Son of God, knowledge of the Son of God, verse 13. That's what that truth is. It's not just a random list of topics that we get our head around. No, those topics are an invitation to know the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what this gift of God's word is to us. To know him more. And so a Christianity that's forgotten or like plays down how important truth is, that's a Christianity that's forgotten that Christ is the truth. That truth is actually embodied in a person. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And so now we relate to him. We sung this before that we look forward to meeting our King face to face, but one day that's what's going to happen. But until then, when we're not face to face, we have his Spirit and his word. He relates to us now through this word. We don't see him face to face, but now it's by faith, not by sight. We know him through these words. This is his invitation to us. And I think I've said this before, but it's a bit like a phone call from a loved one in another place. When that phone rings and that loved one calls, the way you treat that phone call is how you treat that person. The message coming through that phone isn't just information about a random topic. It's not a podcast about an interesting topic you're into. No, it's a person seeking to relate to you and for you to respond to them. And the way you treat that phone call, the way you treat this word, is how you are relating, how you're responding to the Lord Jesus. So these words are an invitation to know him. And so to pursue our purpose is to pick up the phone, to hear God in his word, because we pursue our purpose of being conformed to Christ as we pursue the truth about that Christ. And so I just recognize that can be a tricky thing to do for all sorts of different reasons. And so that's why we write those daily reading notes. So grab those on your way out. We're looking forward to getting back into Romans. And it's pretty cool together that we can all be looking at the same bit of scripture together. And so that's a cool way to do that. But maybe you need to spice things up. You need some different ways, different ideas of getting toward God's word. And so we have made this website. You can try and remember how to write that down later. But if you just Google EV, getting into God's word, do you know what? Now that I've said that, Google probably already knows that you want to look it up later. So they know everything, right? Sorry about that. But there's just a bunch of helpful ideas for getting into God's word together. I think, though, the big thing is just starting. Like, you just got to start a habit. And you start that habit not because you're told that you must do it and because it's a thing to tick off the box. No, because it's the phone call from the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you get off your other phone and you pick up this phone call from the Lord Jesus Christ. And you hear him speak to us. And just a quick thing, I know that lots of people have come to faith recently, which is so wonderful. I'm just celebrating that with you, that you've come to see Jesus Christ, what he's done for you to save you from your sin. And that's just so good. It's okay that these words sound a bit like a foreign language as you begin. I can remember the first Bible study I ever sat in. We're reading Isaiah. It might not have been the first ever, but I remember the first one I was in here. And I was just like, what the heck is going on? There's horses and there's... I don't even know what's going on, right? Half those words I don't understand. But over time, those words start to make sense. And it's not because God's just trying to play hard or something, right? It's just that there is depth and riches to this phone call from the Lord Jesus, because he's deep and he's rich and he is wonderful and glorious, and there's so much fullness in him for him to reveal to us. And so you can spend your whole life in this word and be still uncovering the treasures and adoring him for who he is because of his majesty. And so it's okay that it starts off a little bit difficult. And so maybe getting a few friends around you, having people you can talk to as you seek to get into God's word. Because we pursue our purpose by pursuing the truth together. And we do that urgently. We pursue the truth urgently. And so the next slide there. So look at verse 14. We pursue the truth urgently because there's a danger. Verse 14. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Now that's a hard word, I think, to believe could be true. I don't think we naturally think in life that there is an intention to teach false things about Christ. But God's word is saying that right now. That there is a deceitfulness and a cunning and craftiness behind the wind of all sorts of teaching that goes on around the place. And just quickly, like, it's just a scam. So here we have the word of God, a phone call to us, and then someone else is calling and it's some scam from another country, and you just, how annoying is that, those scammers, right? In their deceit, trying to like get your stuff and ruin your life. Well, there's a worse scam. There's a worse scam. And it's the scam of twisting the truth about Christ, putting it on as if it's Christ himself, and so actually losing Christ. And so God's purpose is to build us up, but they will keep us infants and tossed around by all the different teachings that go on. And so we don't want to be that kind of people. We need to pursue the truth urgently because of this danger. We need to hear Christ on the phone, and so hear the true words about him so that we pursue a true Christ. It's part of why we need each other. Not just the apostles and prophets who wrote scripture, but also the evangelists who spread that scripture's news, the pastors and teachers who teach that scripture to us, and the whole body, verse 15, teaching the truth in love so that we grow into the fullness of the true Christ and not a made up one. It matters. It matters for us together that we grow in the truth and that we do it urgently, because in this world there's an intent to bring us down. Do you believe that's true? Do you believe that's true? It's a hard thing to believe naturally, I think. It's not something that just comes top of mind all the time, but there's an intent to bring us down. And if that's true, there's an urgency by which we should pursue the truth. And so instead of being like a little dinghy in a tiny little boat stuck in a big storm with all these waves and winds going on, the way that boat stabilizes and gets bigger and more sturdy to stand in the storm is as we pursue the truth together. That's what builds that body up, that ship. So the first thing, the way we follow this path, the way we pursue this purpose that God has for us, is that we pursue the truth urgently. The second thing here, last thing I want to talk to you about, is that we do this by each playing our part. So have a look at verse 15. He says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of him, Christ, who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Brothers and sisters, I almost don't need to say anything, doesn't it? But there's a responsibility here for us that we each play our part together to speak the truth in love. That's how the body builds up. And notice this, verse 16, the source is Christ. It's from him that the whole body's built up. But notice that it grows and builds itself up. He gives God's people a responsibility to build one another up. Yes, it's through him, it's from him, but it's through us that he builds us up as each part does its work. As a church community here, and maybe you're on holidays, and so this is true for your local church from wherever you're from, but for us here, EVNight, God's purpose is that we would live for him and to do it as Christ did for us. That wonderful gift, but it comes with this responsibility that we each play our part in that. You have a duty for your church family. God doesn't call us to just leave us on the sidelines or leave us consuming and just let everyone else do stuff. No, no. The body builds itself up as each part plays its role. We have this responsibility to speak the truth in love as each part does its work. And so hear this. You cannot pursue God's purpose for your life without a commitment to the body of Christ, to his people. You cannot pursue God's purpose for your life without a commitment to his people. You can't do it. Every time you wonder, what's God's purpose for my life? And you're sitting there going, what am I supposed to do with my life? Just change the way you're thinking about it and just change that to our. What does God want me to do with our life? This is us, we're a body, we're one, we're to be God's people pursuing Christ, to be more and more in his image. He has a wonderful purpose for us. It's not a gift given to the golden child. It's given to all of us together that we would change all those me's to we. It's about us together pursuing this responsibility. And so, yes, that means taking responsibility for your own growth. If you're married, in that relationship as well. But it just doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there. We speak the truth in love as a body of Christ. And notice the way we do this. We do it lovingly. We speak the truth in love. Verse 16, the body grows itself up in love. We're to pursue the truth. We're to do our part in love together. We do it lovingly. Notice verse 14, the error is spoken in their deceit, the deceitful scheming. It's in deceit, but we speak the truth in love. It is possible, and it's terrible when it happens, perhaps when we're younger, we're more prone to it. It's possible that knowledge can be used by someone in their pride to build themselves up. And it's terrible, right? Knowledge puffs up, love builds up. And so what Paul is correcting there is that we wouldn't be like that, using knowledge for our own purpose, for our own benefit, to grow ourselves up. No, we speak the truth in love so that the whole body builds up into Christ, into His fullness. So do you love your church family? Do you love your church family? How would you even know that? How do you even speak the truth in love in our context? How do we play our part? How do we do that? Because I don't actually expect you to know every single person here tonight, let alone there's a whole bunch of other congregations that we're a church body together. And there's some differences, I think, between a gathering of 40 people and a gathering of like 400 people tonight. And so it's one of the reasons why our small groups play a key part. The small groups we have after life finishes to keep wrestling with those things together, but also the small groups we call growth groups as we wrestle with the word together and keep pursuing the truth. Both those groups are set up that we might speak the truth in love to one another, look after other people, not just ourselves. And just a little encouragement to you, a little thing to just keep carving out that time. Just keep carving it out. Don't let everything just get in the way of it. Whatever's making out that hard, because that's a key way to just put a conviction in your calendar every week and just be on about speaking the truth in love with others, with your church family. Because the size of church is not an excuse to not pursue this path. The Church of Jerusalem, in one day, they had 3,000 people added to their number. Paul wasn't oblivious to the fact that churches could get a little bit larger than 40 people. And so growth group is one way we can play a part in that, as we kind of carve off a smaller bench and be able to pursue life together that way. But there's a whole bunch of other ways we can teach the truth in love. We can do that lovingly. There's, and praise God for them, the formal roles that people take on in our EV kids, our scripture teachers, youth churn, growth group leaders, as people are doing all sorts of formal roles to help speak the truth in love. But there is so much we can do informally without having a role for it, but instead just being God's people. There's so much we can do. And so just being here each week and the way you focus and don't clock off as we come to God's word, you focus in and lock in on this, that is sending a message about that this matters. It's sending a message to us that being around God's word with God people, that matters. We're speaking a truth in love even as we do it in our actions. Your message is, your presence is a message. As we gather and sing together, as we sing with one another, as we let the truth, the message of Christ dwell amongst us richly in song, Colossians 3:16 puts it. The way we sing, the way we engage in God's word, that we don't just spend forever in the foyer, but as the singing starts, we come together to speak the truth in love as we sing it. And the way we engage in that moment that we'd sing, it's an encouragement to me as I see us singing together. And so continue to do that, knowing that it's a part of our speaking the truth in love. And the opposite's true. The lack of engagement, or the lack of not being there, or the lack of singing at all, that's speaking a message about the truth that maybe it doesn't matter to you. And so just be mindful of the way that we speak the truth in love, and sometimes we work against that speaking the truth in love in our actions. But there's so much stuff in just everyday life, isn't there, as we get to know each other and we can speak to one another in the tragedies and trials through the everyday parts of life. There is just so much opportunity to speak the truth in love together. And one just little piece on that, in a church size, the context of this, it does mean it can take time to make those relationships where you can speak the truth in love. And so just an encouragement to just keep at it and just keep coming, keep seeking opportunities to make those relationships where that can happen, because this purpose isn't just for you. God's purpose is not just for you, and His purpose is that you actually play a part in it for us together. There's so much speaking the truth in love we can do together, and so can I encourage you to keep going in that. or start doing that. Think about how you can have a life of speaking the truth, how you can live pursuing the compass of Christ, living that purpose out as you pursue the truth urgently and as you play your part lovingly. That is our purpose, to attain to the fullness of Christ together. The wonderful glory of who He is, that we get to pursue that, what a wonderful gift, and that we might continue to be built up in that. The way we pursue that is by pursuing the truth urgently, and we do it by playing our part lovingly. So why don't I pray for us that we might do that together. Well, Father, we thank You so much for calling us to such a wonderful purpose. Our Lord, there's no more better person, there's no better man who ever walked this planet. There's no one else, no other ideal that we'd rather be measured up against. Our Lord, help us repent where we have been pursuing some other purpose, and please help us to pursue You more. Lord, help us to repent of our individualism, of always just thinking about ourselves. Please help us, Lord, to see what You would have us see about us together, pursuing our purpose. Lord, please would You do this work in us. We thank You for all the ways You're doing it already. Lord, would You more and more conform us to Christ and to help us love one another and spur one another on to pursue that together. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.